Rowan Ricketts joins us in studio. Good morning, Mr. Ricketts.
How you doing? Thanks for having me in again, Mr. Blair.
I am doing well.
Talking about the boy Messi?
The boy Messi? How do you think of his tournament so far? I mean, he hasn't been a superstar, but he's been effective. He's worked hard. The thing Argentina seems to be able to do this year is I found at times in the past, sometimes Lionel Messi, when things aren't going well, he gets in the way sometimes for Argentina. That's not the case.
What do you mean he gets in the way? What do you mean by that?
I think what happens sometimes is Argentina feels we have to get the ball to Messi. We have to get the ball to Messi. And one of the things I noticed earlier in this tournament, I think the realization is, well, if not Messi, we can find Di Maria. He's just as capable of you know, pulling the trigger as Messi is.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on that they do always seek to get the ball to him. But I think it's one of their ploys, because even if he can't go past a few players and bang one in the top corner, he does drag 2-3 players. So I think sometimes maybe he needs to release it a little bit quicker, but I think he's had a good tournament, like in terms of he scored goals. He scored 4 goals. Mm-hmm. He's won them games. He got them out of the group. But what you've seen now, you could say he's got great headlines after coming out of the group from right. him getting those goals. And now that's turned into like so much pressure. Everyone's now looking at him and saying, you know, we got a man to mark him. I was watching some videos the other day, I think it was yesterday, mm-hmm. and people are doubling up on him, and people need to realize. People talk about comparing him to Maradona and stuff like that. And he is definitely up there with the greats, no doubt. But when you're playing nowadays, and all these players are athletes, do you know what I mean? They're strong athletes. And when someone's designated, or 2 players designated to block you, what do you expect from the guy? He's not Superman, do you know what I mean? So I think he's had a good World Cup, and he's doing what he can, but people respect him so much, and they've shut him down, and it's made us question how good he is. It's wrong.
Well, and also, the goal he scored against Iran, that was the type of match that if you lose, or you probably won't lose, but if you draw, especially if you're a country like Argentina, you draw that match and it's like, whoa, it totally changes the mindset around the team.
Exactly. I think sometimes Messi suffers because we compare him against himself. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's unfair, but it makes news. But I think obviously, he's not playing in the same type of system as he does when he plays for Barcelona, so things ain't as fluid. But I think he's had a good tournament in terms of he's got 4 goals. You could say he's, even when he plays well, sometimes he's not going to score. He might not give an assist. He gave a great assist, was against Switzerland,
yeah.
Last minute, so that was amazing. I think he's had a good tournament, but not as good as we would like to see, and that's because everyone respects him so much. You've got 2 men on you. Mm-hmm. You've got Nigel de Jong. You know what he does. He fly kicks people.
Ron Ricketts joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We will return to your calls on the World Cup. I wanted to ask you, first of all, what do you think happens in the championship game? The third and fourth place, I don't know if anybody will even show up for that. I mean, they'll show up, but I have no idea what's going to happen in that match. I've got to think Brazil, I wouldn't be surprised if they just hammer the Netherlands.
You think?
When I hear Arjen Robben and Louis van Gaal saying I'd just as soon be home. I've got to think Brazil, they've got to give their fans something.
Yeah.
They've got to give their fans something. But what do you think happens in that game? And then I want to spend more time talking about, obviously, the championship game.
Well, first of all, I've been a Brazilian fan since a kid. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I think Brazil, they've represented everything that was beautiful about the game for decades. So as a young boy who fell in love with a beautiful game, I was heartbroken. But they got smashed. They didn't show any balls in that game. Do you know what I mean? Just to compete, the bare basics. And they got smashed. And I think the game against Holland, the third, fourth place playoff, isn't going to be too much different. I don't, because the Germans have a similar type of high tempo pressing style to the Germans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they've got that penetration, that pace. And Brazil never really played anyone but Chile. Chile was the only team that they played that really test them. And they hit the bar late on and probably should have won the game. It was 50-50. So against Holland, I don't see Brazil winning that game. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if, hopefully they've healed, but I think mentally they're going to be still a bit jaded. Okay. So I don't see them going. I think I see Holland taking the third place.
What happens in the championship final?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what I want to happen first. I would love to see Argentina win. I'd love to see Messi lift the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
He means a lot. Like, he's brought so much joy to all of us. I think you want to see him win. You want to see him win the trophy. You need, obviously, the other players to step up. They've got Aguero back now. Hopefully, Di Maria can be back in contention. But I can't see them winning. Do you know what I mean? I want them to win, but the Germans, the way they're playing, they're strong, their defense is strong, midfield, everything. The way they play is beautiful football, very, very effective, the typical German style. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they play like a good two-touch game. They're frightening to watch. What about yourself?
Oh, I think Germany will win. I mean, 2-1 seems like a safe score. But I mean, I think Messi scores in the match. I always expect calamity with the German team at some point during a tournament. But I'll give Joachim Löw credit. He moves Philipp Lahm back to where he should be. He plays Schweinsteiger and Khedira. I think Khedira has had a real good tournament. He's got them on the pitch at the same time after a lot of people thought going into the tournament that he wouldn't do it. I mean, I think he's got his tactics spot on when he's had to get them spot on. And I find it interesting because, you look at the statistics from this tournament, and in a lot of ways, this German team, I don't know if it's rehabilitated the image of German soccer, because the image of German soccer has been pretty good for a long time, but I mean, I would argue they're one of the most positive teams in this tournament, the way they play. They're not sort of the old German, we're going to try to break your legs at every opportunity and win 1-0. They play a real positive game. And I think Toni Kroos has been the best player in this tournament from start to finish on any country. I don't know how you feel about it, but I enjoy watching them play. I think they're aesthetically, they're the most pleasing team to watch in this tournament by far.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. I think what's interesting, hopefully a lot of people take this, I'm talking about a lot of coaches around the world, is that they started this plan. Remember, 10 years ago, they changed the way they were doing things, how they were developing their younger players, giving them opportunities in Germany. And a few of their players are not German descent, right, but nonetheless, they're in Germany. Do you know what I mean? So it's amazing to watch the way they pass. Ozil, like I said, is good. Isn't been fantastic, but you know what I mean, he plays his part. You got Götze, Kroos, who's a lovely football player.
And they don't even have Royce in this tournament.
Not even Royce.
That's scary.
Do you know what I mean? And like we've got Skrla. Mm-hmm. Like they've been fantastic. And even they've played closer. When I saw his name in the selection, I was surprised. I was thinking, can he still do a job at this level? Do you know what I mean? But he's done well, and they press well. They're a unit. They're strong all over the parts. They're unselfish. They pass the ball. It's like they've got adopted a little bit of the way Barcelona type of play the ball around, but with a higher tempo and much more penetrative. So it's been fabulous.
And I think one of the things, too, that has really helped the German program is the fact that the Bundesliga is the quality of play in the Bundesliga has improved. I mean, it's still usually Bayern Munich and Dortmund and a bunch of other teams, but the quality of play has improved. And, you know, being able to take a core of players from one team, from Bayern Munich, where you can take a couple of defenders, a keeper, guys who've played together, you've got midfielders who've played together, you've got guys up front who've played together. That, to me, makes a big difference when you're a coach, because you've got, I think a lot of times, Rowan, a team, everybody talks about a team concept as being one for all and all for one. But I think in soccer, a lot of times, you need kind of little groups, not cliques, but you need little groups of guys who've played together well.
Interesting.
Right? Like triangles, if you want to call it that, guys who know each other. If you give me three of those, I'm happy.
All right.
As long as they don't step in each other's feet.
Exactly. That's an interesting point. So what are you saying about England then? Because they had a few of those guys.
They had a few. I'll tell you about England. I feel more positive about an England, about their program now than probably at any point in the last 12 years. The question now is, do they have that transformative guy? And I don't see that. I mean, they've got some good players, but I don't see their Messi. I don't see their Kroos. Not many teams have a Messi, but I look at that team and I go, okay, Steven Gerrard's not going to be there much longer. Who's the core? Like, who is the guy that everything revolves around? Who's the guy who says what has to be said, the guy who makes the big play? I don't see him. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys I like.
Yeah.
But I don't see that one player that I go, hey, he's the guy that everything is going to revolve around in the future.
Yeah.
That concerns me.
Yeah, your first point, I do agree with you it's good to have players that are familiar with each other from different clubs. It's much easier to adapt. England did have a few of them. Germany got a lot of them, but Germany, what they seem to have, And I said, like I said, it developed maybe like about 10 years ago, they started changing things, is they have like a good footballing philosophy, the way they play and they pass the ball around. It's an intelligent and aesthetically pleasing way of playing. And then, like you said, looking at England, moving slightly off topic, I think England, they need to develop a more aesthetic way of playing, more aesthetically pleasing, much more tutors, much more fluid play away. And then you can have players that maybe start to exist like a Kroos. I mean, maybe someone who's like a Messi and that type of special player. But until then, and I was talking about this the other day to my Latino friends, that in England, the philosophy of the English game doesn't permit, doesn't allow that type of player to exist because it's so quick, like back, forth, back, forth. There's not much thought really going into English, in the English way they play. But like yourself, I'm a believer at the moment, and I really do believe in these young players that England have, and hopefully they can do better in the future tournaments. But doing better doesn't mean they have to win it.
No. Well, I don't think you take – I don't think for England the next step is you're going to win a tournament. I think for England the next step is you proceed, whether it's whatever tournament it is, you proceed to the knockout stage, maybe win a match there. But there has to be – I wouldn't say baby steps, but there has to be a consistent approach. And, I mean, you look, you've played over there. You know what it's like. I think the worst thing that happens is sometimes – English teams have a little bit of success. Then the media starts going, hey, now, oh boy, now, this could be it. This could be the breakthrough team. And all of a sudden, instead of saying we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, the thought process is maybe we can skip this, and maybe we can go from here right up to here. And I don't think you can do that when you're trying when you're trying to rebuild things. But it's interesting what you said about the German program, and I think a lot of that goes back to Germany hosting the World Cup. And Michael Ballack made a point on ESPN early in the tournament. And he said when he finally reached the national team, when he became the player he was, there was still this idea you had West German players, you had players from the East. I think Ballack's family is actually Polish or they're from East Germany. But he said there was... you had a real regional sense of the team. And he credits guys like Özil and Sami Khedira and Boateng. He said the guys with, you know, the Turkish-German background, the guys with sort of with African parentage and German parentage, and he credits them with really opening the program. And I think it was just a confluence of events. You know, Germany reached a crisis stage in the development of their game. Some of their club teams, people forget Dortmund was broke. Dortmund almost went under. Now Dortmund contends for the Champions League. There was sort of a confluence of events and just this openness on the part of German society where they stopped saying, well, this guy is from East Germany and this guy's a Polish German and this guy's a Turkish German. And Ballack was making the point, you don't hear that anymore.
Yeah. And
you don't hear that anymore when you talk about guys.
Yeah, you still hear that in England. I think that's a very good, healthy thing. The players have made it a nice, healthy, comfortable environment for other players. Because like you said, once you're living in the country and they've been living there for years, like you can might as well consider yourself German, especially those boys probably been living there since they were babies. So got German citizenship. So it's like, why wouldn't they be allowed? They're playing. They're actually good players. They're going to benefit your system. And there was a young player. He chose to play for Belgium.
Adnan Januzaj.
And I remember the talk was out in England about the potential of him being able to play for England in a year or so. And everyone was, oh, no, they were against it. And I remember Jack Wilshere tweeted about it. And everyone was like, he's a good player. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's in the country. If he wants to represent the country, just because, what, he's not born here? So England probably still have a little bit way to go. Like, don't get me wrong. If he's not good enough, you can't put him in. But if he's good enough, but Germany, like I said, Germany are an example. So even though I would say to Canada, like I heard they've got a really good Spanish coach at the moment, but they need to make sure that the program is all on the same page as him. From the tens all the way up. Do you know what I mean? German's the template right now.
Rowan Ricketts joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I want to shift focus away from the World Cup for a minute. Luis Suarez is going to...
restaurant?
Luis Suarez...
Oh, if I was going to some restaurant instead of...
No. His transfer deal is done. It looks like Liverpool is going to get a whack of money. They may even get Karim Benzema, depending on people you listen to. But we're starting to get to the stage now, Rowan, where we're getting you know, a lot of the transfer signings are starting to happen. And I want to ask you something that I find interesting, and I think about it at the end of every World Cup. To me, there's a danger in if I ran a team, I'd almost instruct my manager to not do anything after the World Cup. Stay out of the transfer market. Because I just think, I look at the values placed on players. People get excited during the World Cup, and it's amazing how many teams make really crappy decisions based on, I saw this guy at the World Cup. He's great. He's worth $60 million. Mm-hmm. They may not have paid 30 for him or 20 for him 12 months earlier, but because a guy has a pretty good World Cup, all of a sudden people line up for the guy's services. It really you see that in soccer more than any other sport, don't you? The guy has a good World Cup, and all of a sudden people forget what he did 4 years ago or 6 years ago, and they think that this guy is a star when actually he's probably more like what he was 4 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think it's a gift and a curse. It's a beautiful thing because, like, there's players that have gone to World Cups, done okay. Done well. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Like, I'll give you an example. His name's Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Right.
Good player. Was at Spurs. Didn't really do much at Spurs. Was at Portsmouth. Couldn't play for Germany because mm-hmm. probably didn't make... He wasn't that good. And then he ended up playing for Ghana. And Ghana's a decent side.
Yeah.
Had a good World Cup. Boom. AC Milan, playing with Ronaldinho, Robinho, superstar mm-hmm. now. So, I mean, then it gets a good move to Schalke. So, I think it's like, because I'm a player myself, so I look at it and I say, yeah, it's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? World Cup, you go there, you can change your life. But I do think some of the prices after, they're definitely inflated. It's ridiculous. But the way, like, football's gone now, it's just, like, kind of a bit unrealistic. Some of the prices you're seeing... Mm-hmm. Like, someone moved the other day, was it Lallana, mm-hmm. for £25 million, and him being in the World Cup definitely would have increased his value, but Fabregas was 30 million. So it's it might have been 30 million euros and £25 million.
Right.
So. And then if you look at Fabregas' CV mm-hmm. and the stuff that he's achieved compared to what Lallana's done, it doesn't make any sense. This guy's won World Cups, he's won European Championship, he's won everything, Champions League. So I definitely think that it's a bit false reflection of the player.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something that I know the guys in the BBC were talking about this a couple of days ago. It's just, it's a habit. People, it's almost as a flavor of the month thing, you know. Yeah. You see a guy play well, and it's like anything else in a lot of sports, right? We remember what we last saw. We may not remember how a guy played in the lead-up to the World Cup, but if he has a good World Cup, man, it's like, you know, the switch goes on and all of a sudden, and I guess that's the great thing about the World Cup is you really do, you can make your reputation and you can also frankly save your reputation in the World Cup.
Or you can actually tarnish your reputation.
Or you can, as Mr. Suarez did. How do you think he'll do in La Liga?
La Liga, well, if he's playing for Barcelona, I think he's going to absolutely rip it apart. I think he'll rip it apart because of the style of play.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting initially because I think he'll rip him out eventually because he's playing for a big team.
Mm-hmm.
But the English style of play maybe suited the way he played. Do you know what I mean? So it worked well for him because the players, it's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So he can beat defenders. Everything's kind of impulsive. And that might work well for him. And where he's going to a league, it's like when Thierry Henry went into the league. He didn't find it so easy. So he might not find it so easy in the beginning, but I think he'll do really well. But it's going to be very, very interesting. Where do you play Luis Suarez? Tell me, where do you play him? Because you don't play him on the left because Neymar's on the left.
Yeah, you've got Messi. I think you almost...
Do you put Messi back on the right? Mm. Like slightly where he played? Maybe.
I want to have Suarez, and maybe this gets to your point, I want to have him in a position where he has to move around a lot. I don't want him to be in a position where he becomes kind of a stationary player. So I don't know. Do you put him in the middle?
Yeah.
Put him in the middle and
He's best down the middle, and then he floats all around.
Right.
But Messi, for what, he's been breaking records, and he's been playing in a false nine position. So do you change that? We will see. That's going to be the job of Luis Enrique, but it's interesting. I want to see where they play him. That's going to be a major factor, do you know what I mean, how they factor it in. But he speaks Spanish, so I suppose he's going to gel quite quickly.